Hi, this is Pastor Sam from Vineyard of Harvest Church, and it's teaching time. We're going to look at some spiritual disciplines, most specifically, the spiritual discipline of stewardship. Like, what is it, and why does it matter? But before I really get into it, let's pray. Father God, I ask that, Lord, I would decrease and you would increase, that your spirit would speak through me. And I pray the hearts that are listening to this message, Lord, be touched by your words, not mine. I pray, O Lord, that the words would take root. These words, Lord, would bear fruit. And that we would be good stewards of what you've entrusted us with. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you had the luxury of seeing my slide, you would see a slide with a question. What would your advertisement say? And I have a picture of a grandfather, looks like a son and a grandson. Take a few seconds, think about what you would put in this advertisement where it looks all cozy and warm. Now, this picture is actually an ad for a famous Swiss watchmaker named Patek Philippe. And the advertisement reads, "You never actually own a Patek Philippe. You merely take care of it for the next generation." Now, I don't know if you know about these watches, but these watches I've seen go as low as $6,000. And some as much more than $500,000. Now, the thing about Patek Philippe's is it makes sense. These watches are so valuable. They're like family heirlooms you pass on to the next generation. So you really never own it. It was something that was given to you, usually. Now, when we look at the world around us, we definitely know it's like a gift from God. And I just want to just reinforce the God perspective, the faith perspective, as we get into today's message. I really want to get down to the origin story of where we fit in this idea of stewardship, right? Managers, or, you know, what God has given us. And let's look at the reason why it looks like this way. If God owns everything, Psalm 24:1 says, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein." Psalm 89:11, "The heavens are yours, the earth also is yours, the world and all that is in it, you have founded them." 1 Corinthians 10:26, "The earth is the Lord's," echoing that of the psalmist. So if God owns everything, we own nothing. We own nothing. We think we own things, right? But before us, who were the original stewards of the heavens? Answers, anybody? Oh, well, I'll have to answer it because no one can answer back at me. They were angels. And the chief angel among them, among these original stewards, is a one named Lucifer, also known as the angel of light, who became Satan, the adversary or accuser is another word. And when we look at Isaiah chapter 14, 12 through 15, Satan thought very highly of himself. Literally, he wanted to go to the highest heights of the heavens, and he wanted to be basically worshipped like God. I mean, Satan was beautiful. I mean, apparently, per the words, especially found in Ezekiel 28, 12 through 17, just talks about him being like this amazing cherub, you know, and really awesome to behold. And, you know, God had really blessed him. But at some point, Satan thought he knew better. than God. And this pride is what cast him away. It is what separated him from God. And it separated him very, very fast. And we know this by Luke chapter 10, verse 18, because Jesus said, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven." Satan fell from heaven like lightning. God wasn't messing around. And God's like, "You know what? You're expendable. You ain't the boss. I am. And let me tell you, let me just show you, I'm going to create these other creatures known as humans. And as weak and frail as they are, you know what? I'm creating them in my image. And they are going to be the next stewards, whether you like it or not." And we see this in Genesis 1:27. So God created man in his own image. And when you think of image, I mean, all we are like, right, reflecting the greatness of God. We are mirrors. As the moon is like a mirror to the sun, and the sun is so much more incredible than the moon is, and it always will be. And so we are just like that. We are just bearers of God's light. And that's what we're here for. But he also created us. And so, again, if God owns everything, we own nothing. We're stewards of what God has given us to take care of. And we know this by Genesis 1:28, which says, "And God blessed them," which are humans. "And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." And I really want to highlight the word dominion. Maybe some of you already know it, but I want to really break it down. It's to mean rule over, to dominate, to direct, lead, control, subdue, that is, manage or govern an entity, people. Managing is another word for stewarding. God has called us to manage life here on this earth. And when we take a look at this earth, we could definitely do a better job of managing, wouldn't you say? Yes. But how do we do that, right? How are we to live into this calling of being his stewards? And I believe the answer to this question is in the very verse we read about being fruitful and multiplying and fill the earth and subduing it. Now, what does that mean? In a physical sense, yeah. It could literally mean multiplying the earth through babies, right? Creating more human beings on the But when we think about that, it means to know, right? To have for any living creature to really just multiply in a sense of its male and female, they have to know each other intimately. And if God is having a relationship where he is blessing us to be fruitful and to multiply, our relationship with God is not physical. Our relationship with God is spiritual. And he wants us to be intimate with him. That may be a strange image. Maybe it's not even something that we can make sense of with our minds. But that's literally, and if we bring it down to earth, the way we have intimate relationships with one another, and it doesn't have to be a sexual kind, it's that quality time with one another. It's about really knowing the heart of one another. And when we know God's heart and we know his instructions, we'll know how to carry out our work while we're here on this earth. Amen? I believe so. He gives us the guidebook. And so then the question is, what exactly are we stewards over? we look back in Genesis, Adam named every moving creature. He probably even named the trees, other than the ones known as, you know, the tree of life and the tree of good and evil. Besides those, he named at least living creatures. And that to me also shows an intimacy and knowing of all the living creatures. He had a relationship with each one of them. And if you have a relationship with a living creature, doesn't matter, cat, dog, lion, whatever, would you not want to care for them? Would you not want them to have a good life if you knew them by their names? And that's what Adam was called to do. But Adam was also called to work in the garden to make sure, you know, that the garden was kept up, right? Any garden, even here, you know, in San Marino, maybe you've been to the Huntington Library. It doesn't look pretty just because, right? They have hired hands who are constantly, meticulously working hard to keep that garden up and pretty. They're stewards, right? Even Huntington himself, in a sense, was a mere steward of the wealth he had and he passed on. Now it's in the care of, in a sense, the state, or it still technically is a private organization. But nonetheless, it's living beyond him, kept in the hand of, you know, board members and directors, etc., etc. It has become an educational institute and a cultural just hub, in a sense, and history and lore. So when we think about these things, we are stewards over much. Every aspect of our lives, not just the world around us, not just this community around Walnut, your homes, right? Your friendships, yourself, right? Your everything. We are just mere stewards. We own nothing. And what do I say that? Does anyone here live in a house? Do you own that house? Maybe your parents do, right? Maybe they did buy that house. Or maybe they owe the bank money, so they really don't own that house. But regardless, one day when that mortgage is paid off, or maybe it's already paid off, if you're lucky enough, if you're blessed enough, they'll pass that house on to you, won't they? And once you get that, and let's say you get married, you have kids, maybe you'll pass that house on to them too. Kind of like that Patek Philippe watch, right? We don't really own anything. Even things we think we own, we don't take with us, right? We enter this world naked, and we're going to leave it naked in a sense too. So, but yet God calls us to be good stewards. And as we live this earth, some are good and some are going to be bad stewards, right? Like even if, let's say, the bank approved a mortgage for someone, you could be a bad owner of that house, right? You can make that house fall apart, or you can make home improvements and make that house amazing, well-greased, you know, double its value kind of person. And if we remember the way God told us to live and have dominion over this earth, he wanted us to be fruitful and to multiply, right? And we know that that's only done if we know the owner's heart, the owner's blueprint, the owner's architectural plans. He obviously created this place. He created you and me. And he wants us not only to just to thrive and to do well with where we've been placed, but ultimately he wants us to remember we are caretakers of his kingdom. We are to be kingdom builders. His living kingdom, his house, is made possible for us to enter because of Christ, right? Who died on the cross for our sins. And by the spreading of that good news and the discipleship of these new believers is how we grow in our stewardship, right? By us knowing the Father's heart. And if we somehow think we're the boss of our own lives, we're going to have cosmic problems like Lucifer did. And as you know, it didn't end up too well for him. And it won't. So when we look at the application of our lives, there are many spheres. We can have even another sermon on stewardship, but we won't. And we think about areas that I know, as you students may think about, your studies are for the glory of God. Your free time is to be for the glory of God. Your money, your first fruits from that, like think of a tithe, like a 10% or more, is God's, because that money really isn't even yours. Relationships are to be built upon God's principles, right? Godly relationships, right? You're going to forgive one another, love one another the way God intended. Life, this life is not your own. And if you can understand that early on, you will do well, my friends. You will do well. And so my prayer, my encouragement for you today and forever while you're here is to know the heartbeat of the Father. Know that this life is not yours and everything you have is already His. And if you live that way, believe me, you're going to have a lot less stress, a lot less worry, and God will bless you. He will multiply you and make you fruitful. And we're not just talking about materially. Sometimes He will, but more so, strive for the eternal, the spiritual. I bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.